on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday, November 19th edition of InvestTalk. First, I want to thank all those who joined us last night for the webinar, and we had some good questions during the hour. If you have more questions after listening, you can get those to me by clicking on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. Just ask your question. I'll answer them. I answer all my questions. It might take me a day or two, depending on how many I get, but I will get to them. And I am sorry for those who got turned away. There was a cap on the capacity for the webinar. But we will have the entire webinar available on recorded form in about a week. It will be free for InvestTalk Insiders. So to become an insider, all you do is sign up. It's no cost or anything. It's just to sign up with an email address and you're in. And I'll let you know when that's ready, by the way, when it's ready to go on the web so you can take a look at it and review the webinar if you want. Also for insiders, we'll have a playback of our interview this week with Orange County Realtor Chevy Akison. He works for a very large firm that does a lot of high-end properties and investment properties for people. So if you're interested in that kind of information, you can take a look at that interview. You can listen to it. It'll be available in a couple days as well. And speaking of real estate, my commentary, market commentary yesterday on InvestTalk.com focused on the health of housing because we had the housing starts report. And those are it comes out every month. You have the existing housing sales report and the housing starts report. The housing starts report comes out first usually. And it talks about how many housing projects were started last month. That is a lagging economic indicator, by the way. Lagging economic indicator. But in the housing starts report, there is a piece of that report which is a leading economic indicator, and that is permits for new construction. Because permits gives you an idea of what's going to happen, right? Where the housing starts, look back the last month, and it already happened. It's in the past. It did happen. Housing permits is what's going to happen. And the starts report was 11% down. Do you remember that? We mentioned it last night on the show. Down 11%, the starts. But most of it was due to flooding in the south. Almost all of it. The permits were up 4.1%. So that was a pretty large number. Pretty large number. Okay. So it looked pretty decent, the report. And, you know, if you took, and as you look closer at these reports, you'll see that the construction for multi-unit family units was at a 41-year high. 41-year high for multi-family units. So it's not bad. And we're going to get that existing housing reports, I think. Is that tomorrow? No, it's next week. Next week. Nothing's coming out tomorrow. So 4.1% increase in permits look pretty good. So do you want to talk about housing? What's your money topic today? Our goal is to get you the information you need. And one way we can do that is with your questions. So let's hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Chris from Virginia Beach. I'm a podcast listener. Thanks for last night's webinar. My question is, in my 401k plan, they have four things they call trusts, which are, they say they're not mutual funds, they're only open to employer-sponsored retirement plans and not to the general public. They don't have traditional stock symbols and are not tracked in any investment publication. However, what they do is they take the price per share of each trust fund, they break down each mutual fund, excuse me there. My question is should I invest in these or should I purposely stay away from them? I mean, is this some kind of accounting side of hand, or is this something, honestly, that I can have faith in? All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Most of the time, you can have faith in them. What they are is a lot of times in the 401k, you know, in 401ks, they want to charge less annual fee for the fund. Okay, and you know, you'll see that they're like Vanguard or Fidelity or any of the other big firms will have these special institutional shares, they call them. And really all they are, you can track them because they're the same exact funds as the publicly traded shares, but the expenses are different, okay? You can look at them and compare the two, and I think you'll see almost all the time they are exactly the same. So yeah, you can trust them. It's not anything tricky or crazy or anything like that. It's just institutional shares and they're not publicly traded, but they own the same things as the publicly traded funds with the same name and same project, same goals, same everything else. So for instance, you would say it's the Vanguard Index, S&P Index Fund. Well, that is a publicly traded fund, and there's a Vanguard S&P Index Fund that's just for institutions with a little less fee. It's like that. So don't worry about it. It's not crazy or anything. There's not doing anything tricky. Okay? Let's go to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm good. How are you tonight, Steve?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good, yes. I'm still doing some research on maybe a short-term trade for the year, maybe something to hold on just for a little bit. And I'm looking at AMC, which I see it's kind of gone down, not exactly to its 52-week low, but close. And I was wondering if that might be worth my time, where maybe I can buy that, hold it for a short period, if there's any poise for it to increase in the near future.
Looking at it, I don't see any reason for the big fall, you know, because I can only take a quick look at it, James, as you know. I don't have a lot of time. I'd like to read up all the news to find out why it's been weak. Because it's AMC, everybody. AMC is a symbol. AMC Entertainment Holdings. It operates 348 movie theaters, 4,960 screens, primarily located in major metropolitan areas in North America. Their earnings in 2013 was $1.27 a share. Then in 2014, went down to 65 cents a share. But this year, it went up to $1.08, and next year, $1.34. And sales are increasing, you know, 5 to maybe 10% per quarter. So, you know, they did have a problem a year or so ago with sales falling, but recently they've been increasing, and yet the stock has been falling since March. I will say this, James, it looks like it has put in a bottom. It looks like it. I don't want you to think it's a $25.66 stock and going to make $1.34 next year. So that's like a 20 PE. Well, a little less, maybe a 19 PE. So James is not cheap in that sense. And they have a lot of debt, which worries me. Will it bounce? I think it will go up with the market rally. I think it will. I do. But it doesn't. There's nothing that I see here that gives me a catalyst for it to really take off. You know, just nothing. Pays a nice dividend, 3.1%. And mutual funds are buying it. So I think you have a shot of going up before the, you know, for a rally at the end of the year, because it's fallen to strong support on a chart. And it should bounce. If it drops below $24, James, I would get out. If you're going to try it, and wait for the bounce. If it drops below 24, because that's the low, and that's a pretty strong low. Remember, it's 25.66 now. So if it bounced below that, get out, move on. Okay?
Sounds good.
James, appreciate the call. Thank you. AMC Theaters. AMC is the symbol, everybody. Next month, I'll be meeting with individual listeners and looking over their retirement documents and making some suggestions. Now, these are no cost, no obligation, informal meetings that I do one or two times a month at our satellite offices. My next date is in La Jolla, San Diego County, on December 2nd. Then in San Ramon in Northern California on December 9th. You can reserve your hour by clicking on Schedule a Meeting on InvestTalk.com. Now, the Indian stock market, is it worth a second look? And that's going to be one of our talking points today, the Indian stock market. I also want to discuss the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. You notice that no one talks about it anymore? the balance sheet, how much the Federal Reserve owns in U.S. government bonds and bills, and how much? No one talks about that. Remember how they increase it? I want to talk about it. I really do. Just, yeah, I know it doesn't sound exciting, but it's important. It really is. And I want to, there was an article today about a trader who was a short seller, and he lost, he had an account of $37,000, and he went lost $106,000 in one day in that account with just one position. I want to talk about the stupidity of that. Make sure you don't do this stupid thing that he did. I have no sympathy for the guy. Even though he sounds like he's fairly intelligent, this was stupid. And we're going to talk about how to avoid stupidity and stuff like this. And it's something I've talked about before, you know, on the air. The Saudi Arabian oil chief and what his take on oil and oil production. I thought it was a fairly interesting and I think a very little known opinion that's out there that I think we need to share. So those are things we're going to discuss, but of course I'd rather discuss what's on your mind than what I want to talk about. But let's take a look at the market today. The market was pretty much flat, even though all three of the major indexes were down. The Dow was down 4, the NASDAQ down 2, the S&P down 2. But that was pretty much flat. Remember, we had a pretty big up day yesterday, right? Pretty big up day yesterday. And so it's just digesting that kind of move. The day before, it was kind of flat, and the day before, that was a pretty big up day. So we're still not, the market's still down a little bit for the year. It is. It's amazing. I mean, we've been all year long with this pretty good volatility, and we're still pretty much just a little bit down for the year. Nothing up, nothing major up, nothing major down. And here we are in the middle of November. Will we get our Christmas rally? I'm kind of thinking we will. I'm kind of thinking that the market will rally, in a Christmas rally. But, you know, I only think that because it tends to do that. I don't have any magic. It just normally does that. And there's nothing coming out or economically speaking that tells us there should be something different than what is normal. So I think we will. We're here for you. Beginner experience questions and investors are always welcome. 888-99-CHART. And if you're podcast listeners, you still can get through. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time.
I was wondering about the Bank of America. I was thinking how come it doesn't go up and why the dividend is so low. Is it the time to buy the Bank of America or not? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I was looking at banks today, yesterday and today, looking at the various banks, and I was thinking that, you know, I kind of like them right now. If I think the economy is still going to continue rolling on into the new year, and I know the Fed is raising rates, I don't think they're going to raise them very fast. I think a slow increase in rates by the Fed will actually benefit the banks. I think they will, because they get to pass that along. So I kind of like them, and Bank of America is one of the biggest banks out there, so I'm not opposed to this investment. I'm not. It's not very expensive. They're going to make $1.44 this year, then $1.57 next year, and it's a $17.69 stock. So that means it's, you know, a below market average PE. Not a very good return on equity at 7, and the sales growth is, you know, they've been shrinking in 1, 2, 3%. So I don't have a really problem with the Bank of America. Another bank might be better. Bank of America, BAC is the symbol. Last night on our webinar, we talked about how to use our free risk analysis tool. It can really help you understand your own tolerance for risk. And it's free. It's important to have a grasp on what that tolerance is. Give it a try. It's on investtalk.com.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Chinese authorities are injecting money into the economy and slashing rates, creating opportunities. But not where you'd expect. Is the big play in China bonds and not stocks? That's our talking point for Friday's podcast. We hope you'll be listening then.
Okay, so is the Indian stock market, India, Indian stock market something for you? Should we think about it? How does it work? Does it? Can you invest in Indian stocks? Now, investing directly is pretty difficult. They have two stock exchanges in India. One's called the Bombay Stock Exchange, which has been around a long time, and the other is a National Stock Exchange. The Bombay has been around since 1875, by the way. And the National Stock Exchange in India, it's only been around since 1992, started running in 1994. And there's maybe 5,900 total listed stocks, 4,700 of them on the Bombay Stock Exchange. And only about 500 of those stocks represent like 98% of the market value. The rest of those stocks are really, really tiny, really don't trade, very illiquid. So there's not that many. It sounds like there's a lot, but there's not really. And can you trade on the stock exchange? Yes, you could go to the foreign desk of your brokerage and say, I want to buy something on the Bombay Stock Exchange. And they'll say, sure. And you tell him what you want to buy, and he'll charge your arm and leg to make that trade. Can you do it online? And no. Can you? No. It's not that simple. You can buy ETFs that are in India. You can buy mutual funds that are in India, you know, that focus on India. But you can't buy directly. Well, you can, but it costs an arm and a leg. You have to know what, you know, it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to do. So, you know, if you're going to invest in India, you're going to have to do it with through ETFs. The two that I am most familiar with is IIF, that's the Morgan Stanley Indian ETF, and IFN, and I'm sure there's more. Those are the two that I'm familiar with, and that is the IFN is an Indian, just an Indian fund. Okay, then they do have indexes that you could buy. You know, the Sensex and Nifty, they both have about 30 stocks in them, 30 big stocks. That's the Indian Stock Exchange. So you can do it. It's just a little bit more difficult. But, you know, if you want to trade directly, that's like any foreign exchange. You have to go to your foreign desk at your broker-dealer. And some broker-dealers don't, you know, the discount ones don't have it. But most do. So let's get back to the phones. 888-99-CHART is how you can get through to our anytime number.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. I'm a podcast listener from New York. I was wondering what your thoughts were on Skyworks Solutions, symbol SWKS. I was attracted to the stock due to its involvement with the Internet of Everything. It still looks expensive, but it's being battered down as a vendor of Apple and its failure to acquire a competitor. Its chart looks pretty nasty. If you thought it was a potential future buy, what price would you think reasonable for a medium-term trade? Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Skyworks Solutions, SWKS, manufactures analog, mixed-signal ICS, amplifiers, actuators, detectors, diodes, couplers, mixers, and, okay, things that I really don't know a lot about. That's what it does, okay? They're going to repurchase up to $400 million worth of stock, but that's not very much when it's a $15 billion company. It's big. What's really nice about it is it's got really good growth. Sales growth is hovering around 20 to 30%. It's been higher and lower in the last year, but 20 to 30% per quarter. Earnings are going to be $6.30 this year. Well, that's actually going to be next year. This year it'll be $5.27. Next year $6.30. That's a 20% increase. And we have projections for the 2017 year too at $7.26. That's 15% higher. It's a 15 PE. I think that's fairly inexpensive. We get great return on equity, 36%. And the chart does look bad. Went from like 110 or so all the way down to 78, and that's where it is right now, 78. It did that since July, down, 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 down. And, of course, you want to find out why it did that. And you mentioned it on the air, why it could be the reason why it did that. But it looks pretty darn strong. And I'm going to say this looks like very strong support, right around $75. Okay, long, strong support. I think it's going to hold there. And you could take a flyer at it right now, because but I might wait till it breaks above the 50-day moving average, which today is 81.77. When it breaks above that, that's when I would feel more comfortable as a buy. But it's going to have a struggle. It's going to struggle. But the numbers look very strong. How much is it worth? Well, I think it could easily go back to, easily go back to 100, 105, somewhere in that range, easily. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm going to talk about this person who did a short sale and lost all his money, $37,000 that he had, plus he owes another $106,000 in one day. One day. We're going to get to that. And we're going to talk about the Fed balance sheet before the end of the hour and the Saudi oil chief's take on oil. We've got three more things I got to get through before the end of the hour, and I promise to do that. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up on the next half hour, a radical idea that could save you money and maybe change your life. That's coming up on Invest Talk Personal. Do you have a money question? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
This is Invest Talk for Thursday, November 19th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us. Right now, and once again, here's registered investment advisor, Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART, I'm back. Love to talk to you about whatever's on your mind. Today, there was a news article about a guy who has, his name is, since he's printed his name in the article, I guess I can say it, Joe Campbell. He had a $37,000 account, and he had it at E-Trade, and he shorted a stock called Calabios Pharmaceuticals. He shorted it with all $37,000. Number one very stupid thing to do is shorting a stock with all your money. That is stupid. The number two stupid thing he did, this was a penny stock, trading about $2. And it did look like it was going to go bankrupt. It did. Then somebody came in and bought all the shares and became a major owner, someone who was going to turn the company around. And the stock, for whatever reason, jumped up to $10, $11, $12 a share in one day. So this person lost all $37,000 plus another $106,000. Now he has a margin call for $106,000. He's got to pay $106,000. Now, how can that happen in a shorting? Well, when you short something, you borrow the stocks from somebody and you sell it. Now, your job is you've got to give it back to them at some point. The hope is it'll go down in value and you buy it back at a lower price and give it back. Hopefully, it goes to a penny. And you buy it for a penny. You short it at $2, goes to a penny, you can make a lot of money. The danger in shorting. What if it doesn't go down? What if it goes up? So you short it at two. Remember, you got to buy it back and give it back. Those same shares get back to the person you borrowed them from. What if it goes from $2, is where you sold it short at, and it goes to four? You then got to buy it at $4 to give it back. What if it goes to 10? You had to buy it at $10 to give it back. You had to buy it back at $10. What if you don't have the money? So the guy lost. So I'm going to repeat this, and I've repeated it many times. Do not buy or sell or have anything to do with penny stocks. Stay away from them. Do not put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify the portfolio. This guy was swinging for the fences, hoping for a home run, convinced that this company was going to go bankrupt, and it didn't. It turned around in one day. It did this. Anybody who's listening to this radio knows not to do this. You know you need to diversify. Don't buy stocks that don't make money. You know, don't. Yeah. I have certain rules that I repeat pretty often. And one of them should be, you don't short stocks. You rarely short stocks. And you only do it with a very small portion of your portfolio. Very small. And you never buy anything with a huge portion of your portfolio because you just never know. Now, you know, this Calabias Pharmaceuticals, they've lost money every year. They're going to lose money this year, next year. Every year they've been in business. And they were saying that they were running out of money. So it looked like it was going under. Look what happened. This is why you diversify. Anything could happen. And if you diversify, you know, that one or two things that might happen to one of your stocks that really blows you up won't hurt you that much if you properly diversify. So be very careful. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me anytime. So let's pick up a question right now.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I am a podcast listener and had a question on what do you recommend on handle dividends from a dividend-paying stock or ETF. Do you recommend reinvesting to buy more shares or to put the dividend into a separate cash account? But I guess it depends on the fund and firm who holds the account. Do you recommend the same for taxable account versus an IRA, traditional IRA account? The fund I was looking at, VOO versus IVV, and retirement is not, well, at least 15 years or more away. Thank you.
I for some reason, I don't like reinvesting my dividends into the same position I have because I bought the position and I bought it with a certain amount in my portfolio, and reinvesting the dividends kind of messes up my average cost for those stocks. In a non-taxable account, it's a little bit easier because I don't care about the average cost. In a taxable account, then I got to figure it out. Now, these days it's easier with computers, but if you bought, you know, 100 shares of XYZ company, and then you had, you know, a $10 dividend, and they buy, you know, one and a half shares, well, what did you purchase that? What was the average cost of that holding? And if you do that over years and it keeps reinvesting the dividends, it gets messy. So I like to make the dividend go into cash, and then reinvest that money somewhere else when I want to. As far as what the individual ETFs you're looking at, the IBB, that's the NASDAQ Biotech. And, you know, it had a pretty good run up for most of the year, then collapse started in July, and it's starting to make a recovery. I'm not really opposed to biotech. I think that it may continue to rally. It might go back up. IBB in particular is selling for $334. It started falling from $400 down, went down all the way to 290. Now it's back up to 334. So I think it looks like it's put in a bottom. It looks like a little weakness and now recover. I think this is, you know, you might want to wait till it breaks the 200-day moving at 348 and buy it there. But I think biotech is still a good place to be, even though, you know, you had a little bit too much excitement about it for a while, I think. Let's go to Psalm in San Jose. How you doing?
Hey, I did good.
Thanks for the call.
Yes. So, actually, I bought it in, it ended up like a $3.40, $3.20. Now it is very down, SFY. So, what do you suggest?
What are you talking about? Swift Energy, SFY?
Correct.
Okay, so you bought it and it's gone down. And this is a penny stock. Okay, I don't know if you just heard me, but I said never, ever, ever, ever buy a penny stock. It is a 40-cent stock. I would get out, leave it. It's going to lose $3.14 a share this year. It's going to lose $2.26 a share next year. It's a really tiny company, $17 million market cap, engaged in exploration and production of oil and natural gas, primarily in onshore inland waters of Louisiana and Texas. Swift Energy, I get out. I see no reason to own this stock. It's not going to make money.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call. And it has lots of debt. It bankruptcy is probably in its future. And, you know, penny stocks, do not buy penny stocks. Don't confuse now a low price stock with a penny stock, just because there is a difference. Penny stocks usually have no earnings. That's a telltale sign. And they trade in pennies. It could be as high as a dollar or two, but no earnings, never had earnings, doesn't look like it's going to have earnings. That kind of thing tells you it's a penny stock. Okay? And stay away from them. No need to buy them. Why would people think that, I'll buy this stock at 50 cents. All I have to do is go to a dollar and I'll double my money. Yeah, well, and go to zero and you lose all your money too. And that's the more likely scenario. Okay? It's time for Vestock Personal, the day-to-day money choices we make that can have a lasting impact. Yesterday, we talked about leaving money on the table, ways to save money, and you may have heard the results of a survey we mentioned. 45% of respondents told survey takers that cable TV is a waste of money. 45%. But 81% of them admitted to being paying customers. So maybe we shouldn't watch TV at all. A recent blogger wrote there are a lot of financial benefits to getting rid of your TV. You're spending, not attempted to buy the things they're trying to push to you by the ads, a lower electric bill, no cable bill. So there's benefits. You're going to say, well, what about entertainment? Well, you can pick up a book. That's what I do. I watch TV, but very little. But you can also get, you can get TV otherwise other than a cable, but you can save, the average is about $60 a month. That's $720 a year. Do you really? How much TV do you watch? Also, if you're not watching TV, that frees up a lot of time to do other things. So you can maybe connect with your family. Maybe start a part-time evening business. Maybe write that novel you've been thinking about writing. How's that? You could do stuff. And maybe you have less stress, too. Because if you're not watching TV, you'll get your chores done, like paying the bills and doing things you're supposed to do instead of watching TV. Just a thought. So give up the TV. That's Invest Talk Personal. Maybe you already have given up the TV. Share your experience with us if you had. Check in right now, 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. I was hoping you could look at GDX and see what your opinion might be.
Very familiar with GDX. I've been watching it very, very closely because we have a few gold positions, gold mining companies. So I've been watching GDX, which represents the gold mining industry. And it looks like it hit strong support again, and it looks like it's trying to bounce off of that support. So if you're going to buy GDX, this would probably be the point where you would want to take the chance to buy it. If you own it, you will get out if it breaks the lows it made in September and just a recent, a couple days ago. If it breaks those lows, you get out. But I think gold could easily rally no matter what the Fed does. The recent weakness in GDX was all because of the last minutes of the Fed saying they're going to raise rates. Well, that's already now built into the price, right? We all know that. So let's say the Fed raises the rates next month. GDX should not care because we already know that. Let's say they don't raise the rates, Mike. GDX will take off if they don't, because that'll weaken, the dollar will go down. So I think your risk is pretty small here at this point. I think the risk is small.
And I was hoping one more time is to, if you can, what is your opinion on ABX? I'm thinking about buying that.
We bought that not that long ago. For everybody else, ABX is a Barrick Gold mining company. So I kind of like it. You'll notice that it's holding up better than the other gold mining companies and gold prices. So I kind of like ABX.
And what would the target be on that, please?
Well, they're going to make 46 cents next year. It's a $7.50 stock. But it's hard to know because it's not going to be based on what it earns, but what gold price does. So it's kind of difficult. at $4.46 a share. If they make that next year, that's based on gold prices not going up, staying the same. So it's very difficult. I think that we're going to at least get it back up to, you know, close to $10. That's what I think.
Very good. Thank
okay.
you, sir.
Appreciate the call, Mike. GDX, so you're talking about GDX and ABX, which is Barrick Gold Corporation. And there was news out about Barrick Gold. Their earnings were very good, and the cost of production of gold went down. It's in the $800 an ounce area. And, of course, gold is selling a little bit more than 1,000, so, you know, that's good for them. But if you look, you know, again, you're going by gold prices on this. If you look at the earnings and sales, they've been coming down. They do have earnings and they do have sales, but they've been coming down for the last couple of years because gold prices have been coming down. So this is a play on gold prices. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a big gold person, but that doesn't mean I won't use them as a possible trade. I will. But I'm not a long-term holder of gold. I like companies that make money and pay dividends, grow their sales, I mean, that kind of thing, and not be reliant on, like, gold price. I don't like them to be reliant on some one particular thing. Just don't like. I like the buying companies that, you know, management is really good and can, you know, give you an advantage over their competitors. It's very difficult in gold mining company to be take advantage, you know, of good management. It's difficult. 888-99 chart. The Saudi oil chief minister said global demand, by the way, his name is Ali Al-Anami, said global demand is expected to grow by an average of 1 million barrels a day annually. Okay, every year it's going to grow a million barrels a day. And the oil industry needs around $5 million a day additional output to keep up. And there's a big production drop happening now in capacity across the world. And therefore, we need that $5 million barrels a day capacity or more every year. He thinks we are vastly underinvesting in oil production, and it's going to be a big problem. Now, I mean, who knows? I mean, remember, he's the Saudi oil minister, and he, you know, he's a pretty knowledgeable guy, but of course his interest is to boost oil prices, but that's pretty, what he said is pretty bullish for oil prices long term, but we have a pretty much an oil glut right now, glut. But I do think it's interesting to listen to all those people. But remember his bias. Always try to pay attention to the bias, whoever is talking. What's their bias? 888-99-CHARGE is how to reach me as we move into the final segment of Invest Talk for today. I think you need to give me a call. Reminder for the podcast subscribers that don't live in California, you still can meet with me via Skype or the telephone. Don't think it's not there. This is Invest Talk.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. InvestTalk is kind of an unusual podcast in that you can call and talk to the hosts and be part of it. InvestTalk is produced every day from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. So call then and talk to Steve and Justin live, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Saeed in Houston. How you doing, Saeed?
Hey, Steve. Great program, man. I listen every evening.
Oh, great appreciate program. It. Thank you.
Chesapeake, CHK, I saw it's like $5 stock now. I bought it from a 20, then I averaged around 10. Do you think, are they going to go bankrupt? What? Balance sheet? Can you give me some details?
I'm sorry, what was the symbol? I have a big echo. I apparently on a phone, that speaker phone. What was the symbol again?
Oh, it's CHK.
Do it again, I'm sorry.
CHK, Charlie Harry King.
Okay. CHK. Okay, Chesapeake Energy?
Yes. I want to know their balance sheet before I buy more. I'm thinking they are going to go bankrupt.
Nah, I don't think so, no. $3.5 billion company, Chesapeake Energy Company, engaged in exploration and production of natural gas and crude oil properties throughout the United States. They are losing money. They're going to lose 17 cents this year and 27 cents next year, so that's not a good thing. They're trading now at $5.40. It certainly looks like that. They're really taking it on the chin here. And they're going to lose money, so I would not be interested in buying it. It's interesting. There's been a lot of insiders buying the stock, though. That's kind of interesting. Sales are...
What's their balance sheet? I mean, are they not going to go bankrupt? That's what I'm worried.
Well, they don't have a lot of debt. They have some debt, but they don't have a lot of debt. So I think they can. That what they need to do is they could try and to last, and I have to read up on it. Remember, I only get a quick look at the company. But it looks like they really need some higher oil prices, and they may not get it. But I don't think for them to go bankrupt, it would be surprising to me because they do have assets that they could sell, but they don't really want to. But they could sell a lot of assets off to keep them afloat and keep them afloat a long time. So I don't think it's going bankrupt, but I certainly wouldn't be a buyer of the stock, Saeed, because it just looks too weak. Too weak. Appreciate the call. Thank you. And let's go to Gene in North Carolina, listening to us on KDOW website. How you doing, Gene?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
You mentioned earlier tonight that you were interested in gold as a trade, but not an investment, I think
yes.
you said.
Yes, yes.
Do you have any interest in that in platinum as a trade?
Yes, same thing. Platinum, silver, and gold. I don't have any platinum myself. I do have a silver mining company, so I have a few mining positions. And it's just a trade. It's not a long-term thing, Gene. And right. And it's because I think the dollar has really gotten high, and I think that is down. I think it's going to turn down. It was down today, obviously, but, you know, I'm not... I think the Fed is going to do one raise of interest rates and then leave it alone a long time. I don't know. I just feel like there's momentum in people buying gold. As a trade, I think that if you're going to do the trade, you buy it here and have a tight stop if it drops below its lows. And that way you get out, you don't have a big loss. But if it rallies, I would sell into the rally, whatever that rally will be.
I heard there's a very unusual situation right now where platinum is much lower than it is normally versus gold.
I don't know. To be honest, I haven't been studying platinum because I know platinum is used also in catalytic conversion, automobiles,
right.
And there's other uses for platinum. So I can't answer that question. I don't know about that, Gene.
Hey, well, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. That's Gene in North Carolina. Thank you all those for podcast listeners. I really appreciate it. The federal balance sheet is at $4.5 trillion. No one's talking about it. They continually reinvest the money as it comes due. It's all held in U.S. government bonds. If they really wanted to tighten, instead of raising interest rates, they could start selling these bonds. That would tighten liquidity. It would have the same result as raising interest rates. But no one's talking about it. They're not even talking about it. They're just leaving it alone. Keep an eye on that. Our hour's up. Maybe there's a question that you didn't get the chance to ask. So please call. You can call our anytime number at 888-99-CHART. Leave the question there. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.